you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, this is God's word. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" That is the word of the Lord. You know, I didn't grow up in a church where they waved palms. I've been in churches where they did that. But my feeling is, unless you live in a place that grows palms, that's really not all that appropriate. It seems to me that while it's kind of a fun activity for the children, we don't necessarily want to identify completely with the people who are doing this. Because, as the title of this morning's message suggests, within the week, things had changed. It's amazing how quickly things can change. I remember driving along with a dear friend, having a great conversation, and we came over the crest of a hill, and on the other side of the hill, there was a car fully stopped in my lane. And the reason they were stopped right over the crest of the hill was because there was an intersection there, and this person was waiting to make a left turn, but they couldn't make the left turn because there was a large truck coming the other way toward us. So I was faced with a couple of options. I could rear-end the lady in the Ford Maverick, who was right in front of me, and I mean, it's amazing how much your brain calculates in just nanoseconds. I didn't want to hit her. Another option was to try and go around her by pulling into the left lane, but then there was that truck. So that didn't seem like a good option either. So I ran my car onto the shoulder of the road where I had a couple of options again. One was there was a thicket of pine trees that looked really leafy and kind of soft, okay? Or there was a telephone pole that didn't look soft at all. Now, I had just spent several weeks hand sanding and restoring my car in order to get it ready to go in the body shop the next day. It was going to be restored to its pristine condition. I'd already paid to have the engine overhauled, and my car, a 1963 Chevy Bel Air, was going to be just perfect. I mean, I really worked on this thing. So do I go through the pine, or do I go straight for the telephone pole? I thought the pines looked better. And thank God the Holy Spirit said, "Hit the pole." I thought, that's crazy. I'm going for the pines. And the Holy Spirit said, hit the pole. Thank God I hit the pole. Totaled my car. But seconds after I totaled the car, a lady burst through the pines saying, my God, are you all right? She and her children were having a picnic on a blanket right on the other side of the pines. I would have taken out a whole family. Thank God. But let me tell you something. My world changed like that. One moment, everything was great. I had plans for how the car was going to look. Seconds later, my car is totaled, but a family has been spared. Amazing how quickly things can turn. Amazing. I remember the church I pastored in Atlanta was growing and God was blessing, and we were undertaking a new building project. We'd gotten architectural drawings. We'd put it out for bids. Bids came back about 50% higher than the architect had led us to believe they would. And so we had to go back to the people and try and raise more money. And we'd gotten everything in place. Everything was good. People had made their pledges. People had made gifts. The bank had said, we'll carry you over till you get it all paid off. But I remember vividly, I don't think I'll ever forget until I'm totally senile, the day that construction started, there was a very unfortunate looking covered walkway right in front of the church building. It looked like giant concrete picnic tables built for aliens. And that was there before I came to the church, okay? I had nothing to do with that except suggesting that we could eliminate it. And the builders had come and they had torn all of that out. So now there were just bits of steel and concrete wreckage out in front of the building. And to me, that was progress, okay? I was pretty thrilled. Construction had started. That first day, that was the first thing they did, was tear down that obnoxious covered walkway. And then the news brought word of the biggest stock market crash since the great crash of 1929. And only God knew what would follow the next day and the next week and the next month. We could potentially have been heading into another Great Depression. I remember walking outside of my study, because I didn't want to see anyone right then. I walked outside and I looked down the walk at the wreckage. Because, you know, as bad as those concrete picnic tables looked, it was probably a more welcoming front than what now was there, okay? Because now it was just, it was rubble. And I looked at it and I said, God, this belongs to you. The church is yours. My life is yours. I'm totally blindsided by what happened on the stock market, but you aren't. You know all things and you're in control. I can't fix this. I can't roll the tape back. Do what you want to do. And God was merciful. And we didn't have another Great Depression. We had a recession. And God got us through it. And the facilities were built, and the church continued to grow, and God blessed, and praise the Lord. But it doesn't always go that way. One of our dear friends, who was the chief pilot for Delta Airlines, had some headaches, went to the doctor, glioblastoma, and I was able to try and walk that family through the months that followed as our dear friend, Captain Glenn Sage, went to be with the Lord. Let me just tell you something. It doesn't always go the way you want it to. All of you know that from firsthand experience. It doesn't always go the way you want it to. So, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. I have to say, I think that would look a little awkward. If you've seen the foal of a donkey, this is a really young one that's never been ridden before, and Jesus, even if he wasn't a real big man, we don't know from the scriptures about his stature, but Jesus, if he was just average size, would dwarf the foal of a donkey, okay? It would look humble, not like a king riding into a city on a stallion, okay? I mean, that's what you want. You want Jesus to show up and make a good impression. You want him to strike fear into the hearts of the Romans. You want him to look good. If I'd been on the committee to plan Jesus' arrival at Jerusalem, I would have said, donkey, no. Foal of a donkey, definitely no. Okay? That's just not a plan. That is not a good plan. But you'll notice when Jesus told his disciples, two of them, go into the city and there you will find, and describes the whole scene and tells them what's going to happen and how they're to respond. Clearly, this was planned. But whose plan was it? It wasn't the disciples. They didn't know. They didn't make arrangements. Jesus had not been in Jerusalem for a while. How was all this orchestrated? How was this planned? I'll tell you who planned it. God. And that's why Matthew, when he tells this story, quotes from Zechariah 9:9. Because a long time before these events happened, they'd not only been planned by God, they'd been declared by God. God had said, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to look. This is what's going to go down. And when you and I are going through something that seems like the planning wasn't real good, you know, I could have planned this better. I could have made this look better. I could have, you know, come on, God. Don't most of us want to work as a consultant for God? You know, we were willing to work for him, but as Adrian Rogers said, we want to work as a consultant. Okay? Because we think we could help. God clearly has this entire universe to run, and sometimes some of the details don't go the way we would have planned them. So if God would just say, what do you think? But God doesn't do that. This was all planned ahead of time by Almighty God. And God had said, this is what it's going to be. This is how it's going to look. And it's going to be a picture of humility as the Prince of Peace rides into Jerusalem.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
But you see, it didn't go the way the people planned.
And he's holding out his hand.
So within the week, the crowd will have turned against him. The people are going to despise him and call for his death. Because this is not the way they pictured the kingdom arriving. Now, they had heard great things. Opinion was divided. Generally speaking, the crowds were on Jesus' side. That's why all week long, the religious leaders were wanting to do something to him, but they couldn't figure out how to do it because they knew if they tried, the crowds would turn on them. So they had to arrange that arrest in the middle of the night and a trial in the middle of the night, which was a violation of Jewish law. And then in the morning, we turn him over to the Roman authorities and let them do it. We can't do it. We don't have the authority. Didn't go as planned. Even the disciples weren't sure what to make of it. John says that they would only later understand what this was all about. And if you read the first chapter of the book of Acts, you see his disciples asking him after his crucifixion and resurrection, and having explained the scriptures to them, showing that all these things had to happen this way, then they finally, before he is taken up into heaven, they ask the question that was on their hearts. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? If I'm Jesus, I'd be going, I mean, how can they ask that question? Because that's what they wanted. Okay, Jesus, now that you did that sacrifice thing, now do we get what we want? He has paid the penalty so that instead of spending forever in hell, they get to spend forever in heaven. And they're asking about the earthly kingdom. Because that's where we live. That's what we want. Let me ask you a question. As you contemplate how stupid these people are, do you see yourself? Like I do? I see myself. When I consider what Jesus did for me at the cross, who cares about the rest of it? If you live to be 30, or you live to be 70, or you live to be 102, it's all temporary, okay? If you have good health or if you have bad health, it's all temporary. If you live in a big house or you live in a small house, if you live in a fancy place or a humble place, it's all temporary. All of this is so short. It doesn't mean we can't build houses or make clothing or whatever. It just means the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. But don't think that these things are what it's all about. It's not. The kingdom of God is about the relationship with the King. It's not a matter of geography. It's a matter of relationship. That's what matters, and that's what lasts forever. Nothing else is going to last forever. Your relationship with Jesus is the one thing. That's it. So how's your relationship with Jesus this morning? You see, the King makes the kingdom. Do you know him as your Lord? Is he your master? Is he your ruler? Because that's what it's all about. That's the one thing that matters. If he is your Lord, then whatever comes at you in this life is just passing. It's just temporary. Whatever it is, whatever it is. Financial ruin. Wasting disease. Whatever it might be. It's going to pass. It's temporary. Whatever pain, physical, emotional, whatever pain you have. I don't mean to belittle it. I just want to give us a biblical perspective on it, which is that this life is short. For people who live a long time, it's still short. I had the joy of knowing Billy Graham, and as he got older, the thing he said, one of the things he said that stuck with me, was that he just couldn't believe how quickly it went by. I mean, now we read that in the scriptures and we know it's true and we say amen, yes, that's right. But when you're in the middle of it, when I was in the hospital and hurting really badly, it didn't seem like it was going quickly, okay? It just doesn't feel like it's fast when you're hurting. When you're in pain, when the dentist is drilling, and you're thinking, I can't stand this for the rest of my life. Well, you can if you only live another 5 minutes. But I mean, the fact is, when you're in the middle of an intense situation, you feel like, I just can't endure this, but guess what? You will. You don't have a lot of choice. You're going to make it. And one day, you're going to see him face to face. And it'll all be worth it. I guarantee you nobody is walking around in heaven saying, oh, let me tell you what I went through. You know, it's absolutely immaterial. I had a bike wreck when I was a kid. That was another situation where, you know, everything was going great in one minute and the next minute it wasn't. Somebody donated a bicycle to me and because I was a preacher's kid. That's where preacher's kids get their bikes usually. But this person gave us a bicycle and the front fork was messed up. And it only happened a couple of times, but when it did, it was really painful. I was riding along, having a wonderful time, and suddenly the bike seized up in front, and I did a face plant in the basket that was there for a newspaper delivery, okay? Empty basket, wire basket. And I'm literally, for a brief second, face first in the basket, and in my entire body, feet up top and head down low, face in the basket, neck snapping. I mean, it was a bad moment for me. And then I flipped on over out of the basket. Definitely could have been a $100,000 winner on America's Funniest Videos if someone had been there to take a picture at the time. But I'll tell you something about that. That's probably the first time I've thought of that bike wreck in, I don't know, 30, 40 years. It just came to me now as I was speaking. I don't walk around thinking about the bike. Oh, well, let me tell you, I once had a bike wreck. Yeah. At the moment, it was all that mattered. But in hindsight, it's no big deal. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't think that the things of this world are what matter. They don't. They don't. Your relationship with him matters. And he loves you so much that he did what only he could do in order to give us a relationship with him. Jesus went to the cross so that we could have a relationship of peace with him. Forever. That's magnificent. So, I want you to think about how quickly things can change. And by the way, they don't always change for the bad. I know all the examples that I used were things going wrong, but the fact of the matter is sometimes when it looks really grim, when it looks really bad, you suddenly have some good news. All of a sudden, something happens, and it's like, wow, I didn't see that coming, and that changes everything. But think how quickly things can change. Secondly, think about whether or not what happened in Jerusalem was planned. Of course it was. And not just what happened on Palm Sunday, but what happened on Good Friday, and what happened on Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus rose again. It was all planned and declared ahead of time by God. That's why we celebrate Good Friday. That's why we take the Lord's Supper and call it a celebration. It's because this was God's plan. And so finally, think about what it is to be a part of the kingdom. It changes everything. It changes everything. He has given his life to make us his own. And nothing can ever separate his children from his love. That's good news.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.